Thanks very much, Minister Kaika. Thanks for opening the proceedings and for your good wishes. Indeed, we've got a lot to cover this morning. So what I'll do is just kick off with a little scene setting and some observations on the sort of rules of engagement today. So just before I get down to the details, for those of you who are not familiar with Icewarm, I'll just give you a quick background to where we've come from. Icewarm was kicked off in 2004, really got underway in 2005 as an Australian government initiative, but with strong support from the South Australian government as well. So it's a consortium principally of universities, but also a lot of the implementing agencies that are going to be talking here today. Icewarm acts as a facilitator or broker for education, training and research in water. So we don't tend to pretend to do anything else except talk about water management. The original founding universities, the three state universities here in South Australia, Central Queensland, obviously a bit further north, and Deakin in Victoria. The old Centre for Groundwater Studies, which is now the NCGRT, the National Centre for Groundwater Research and Training, and ATEC was the local consultant involved in putting the original proposals together. As I say, the focus of activities, when we say education, we're really talking about award programs, so postgraduate award programs, training, all variety of training, and interested in collaborative research activities. On the education side, we're facilitating a joint master's program, and I see some of our students here today. This is really about people who find themselves in the water industry and think they need to know a little more about it. It's a mix of coursework and small research or industry-based programs. So there's a very flexible postgraduate program operated through all of the partner universities, so you can enrol in any one of the partner unis and pick up courses from any of the others. A short course program is rapidly gaining in importance and popularity, so people who are not prepared yet to commit to full postgraduate training can just do short courses, and some of those can be accredited to an award program, but many people just want to get the skills and experience and go with that. Lots of short course programs, and I think there's some flyers about our next year's program here. Seminars and so on like this type of activity. We bring in a lot of international visitors here. Lots of internationals are very interested in the way that we manage our water resources here in Australia, and we'd like those exchanges to be more two-way. So also promoting the exchanges outward as well as hosting inbound delegations. So, and this interest comes from all around the world. So the last time we had Minister greeting a delegation, I think it was from Thailand or the Mekong. Lots of Southeast Asian and East Asian experience, lots of people from the next groups coming from the Ganges Basin Authority, a brand new basin authority, very interested in how we're managing water here in Australia. The Brazilians last time, and I can't remember the previous one, the Arab Water Academy, I think. So from all over the place, lots of interest, and this is a way of putting that learning into practice. Also very interested in the direct contact with implementing as well, so it's not a purely academic exercise. On the research side, we're really interested in the collaborative research. So we're not a research funding agency, but interested in funding collaboration across traditional boundaries, so between institutions, even between faculties in the same institution. There's a novel thought. And we're also pretty keen to put industry and researchers together. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. So lots of networking and coordination. We support this with a international visits and exchanges program. So there's a small bit of funding that we apply to encourage that sort of stuff. Special scholarship programs, including special links with Europe. So there's a co-funded EU and Australian government exchange program, which has been tremendously successful. Lots of contact there. Now, moving on to specifics. So we've actually been running since about 2007 a program called Living Laboratories, and this is an initiative that was started off with DWLBC, for those that can remember back just a couple of years, the Department of Water, Land and Biodiversity Conservation, otherwise known as Wallaby, and now the Department for Water. This is about getting researchers and agency staff, in particular in the policy and implementation areas, together to work on real problems at real scale. So it's an opportunity for researchers to get out of the laboratory and work at real scale, and it's an opportunity for the agencies to apply research techniques directly to the programs that are ongoing. And we spend a lot of money on water management, and so it's not about research funding. This is about just slightly modifying our approach to these things so that we're getting better results for the money spent. Now, getting on to the topic of today's what is really a living laboratory experiment. Why are we interested in this drought, and why are we why are we going to all this trouble? The drought's over. The rain started, as the minister said, in September last year. It's hardly stopped, so we don't have a drought anymore. Why don't we just forget it? Well, we think it's very important that we don't just forget it. We think this has been the drought of record. So we had events that our next speakers will describe, which set this drought beyond all others in our record, in our history. It took us a while to realise that this was a real drought, and so some early mistakes were made, because basically the managers could not believe that that this sequence of events that was unfolding could have happened, because it had never happened before. So it caught a lot of people by surprise, but it also now provides us with this opportunity to look at what evolved as an adaptive management process. And here we're talking about a process that, when people say adaptive management, they use it as a euphemism for what you do when you're panicking. This is not actually what happens. And I think as the story unfolds today, you'll see that there's a lot of people who worked very, very hard, well beyond the call of duty for a long period of time, much longer than they ever expected to be putting in the extra effort, and we need to garner that experience and record it, so that the next time we can see the signs a little better, and we can move forward with more confidence. So these are the formal goals of the workshop, but basically this is about starting the process, and we don't think this is the end of it, but at least we can start this process of recording what actually happened, putting in the analysis and drawing from that experience the lessons learnt, so that it can be put into put onto the record and used not just here in South Australia, but interstate and overseas as well. Some limitations. We're only here for 6 hours, so and that includes lunch. So we it's a fairly concentrated hothouse of discussion, but we think this is you know, we'd like to get the maximum value from this few hours that we're together. But we think it's really the first step on a longer journey. So we'd like to limit the discussion, if we could, to what's particularly happened in South Australia. There's an awful lot of things that we could bring into the discussion about what's happened upstream and, you know, those blokes on the other side of the border, whichever border. We, you know, that's not going to be a terribly profitable way of spending our time today. But let's focus particularly on the experience locally. This is what we know most about. And as we're doing that, I just ask that we reflect on the experiences. So we could just have a series of anecdotes here, little stories and vignettes, which are terribly interesting. But let's just reflect on what they mean and try and draw out of that experience some of the lessons so that we can directly record those and carry them forward. And the last thing is we know that the next time a drought happens, it's going to look different from the way that this one looked. You know, this one took everyone by surprise at the beginning because it had never happened like that before. But we think there's a lot of valuable lessons that we can learn to apply the next time a drought looks like happening. So to help us read the initial signs, which was the real difficulty with this one, and then to have some management processes in place that we can directly draw upon.